You're listening to Thunder Quack Podcast Network.
Hello, and welcome back to Off the Record, your Patreon exclusive Thunderquack podcast. I am your host, Michael Cohen. And listen, it is taking everything in me, every fiber of my being, not to just talk about X-Men 97, but we're going to hold off. I'm going to hold off because Joe and I are going to talk about it at length on the next episode of the Thunderquack podcast. But I will just say right here and now, it's phenomenal. It's fantastic. Everything about it is so, so great. But I don't think that's anything newsworthy for you guys. I think everybody is fully aware. I mean, I think everybody within the sound of my voice here is absolutely on board already. But, yeah, man, oh man, every fiber of my being, not to just talk for an hour about that. But we just did an X-Men Off the Record. I just talked about Cyclops not that long ago. So we're going to talk about something else. But yeah, it is very, very good. Go check it out if you haven't. Also go check out Ghostbusters Frozen Empire and check out Joe and I's review on the Thunderquack podcast, which it should be out if you are on Patreon. It is already out on Patreon if you are on the podcast feed. It was just released the other day. So go check that out. One other thing that I want to do is I just want to update. So when we went to monthly on the shows, my original plan was for Thunderquack to be a week early. The Thunderquack podcast was going to be a week early. So it would come out on Monday and that on Patreon, and then the following Monday on the podcast feed. What I have noticed is that, because we're a little bit more topical and we're a little bit more news focused, the news is like so stale. It's so stale that the regular podcast feed is I think suffering as a result. And that's just after a couple of weeks. So so I'm just adjusting it a little bit. So it's going to, the Thundercrack podcast will now come out on Thursdays on the regular podcast feed. This podcast Off the Record, which is less topical, will still be the one week in advance for this next little bit as we release them. I mean, I guess this is the last week, isn't it? It's the 26th. So this is your last free episode of Off the Record. After this, it goes back to the exclusive feed. So, yeah. The other piece of news is that Thunderquack will actually probably be delayed next week a little bit because I am out of town on the Monday. But there will be a podcast on the Monday, on the podcast feed, and it'll be simultaneous for Patreon as well as the podcast feed. But you're going to have to go to Perfect 10 in order to get it. So make sure that you're subscribed over on the Perfect 10 feed. There will be an episode on Monday. I'm not going to tell you what it is. You guys will have to wait and see. But that episode will be dropping on Monday for everybody. It's, if you look at the date of what Monday is, I think you'll know. I think you can put it together what we're doing. But, yeah, go check that out. Perfect 10. Make sure you're subscribed everywhere. And for this episode, I'm going to talk about a thing that I am a little bit obsessed with right now. I just finished off playing Heartspace Shipbreaker, which is a fantastic game. It's so, so good. If you've got PlayStation Plus, I think it's part of the catalog. I don't know what tier it's on, but they've made that so complicated. But you should be able to grab it there. I'm not sure if it's like an Xbox Game Pass game or not, but it's well worth going and picking up. Just paying the price tag. Full disclosure, I Curtis, who is my co-host on Cartoon Afternoon, his wife works for the company that developed the game, Blackbird Interactive. So I do have a personal connection to it, and so a vested interest in you guys going and buying it to support Katie and Blackbird and everything they're doing. But Genuinely, I played the crap out of that game. Like, you can talk to my wife, as Crystal. It was a little bit of a problem for a minute there. I couldn't break away from it. But I finished it. I finished the story mode. And so I've kind of moved on to other stuff. But although, like, you can keep playing. You keep playing after you're done the story and just keep busting up ships and stuff. But I played it for a few weeks there. Pretty solid. And I think I've gotten my fill for now, but I will probably jump back in and finish off the last few things. I think I might try and platinum it, try and get the platinum trophy. But that's not the game that I want to talk about. I just wanted to give that a quick shout out, make sure that everybody knows to go check out Heartspace Shipbreaker. And Blackbird, which Blackbird's not a huge developer. It's a local Vancouver dev. I don't know if I would consider them an indie dev or not. They kind of are. They're not huge. So, support them. But Shipbreaker is sort of one of their own IP, as opposed to they've done a bunch of other stuff like Minecraft. Oh, what was the name of the it was like the strategy, like the RTS one, Minecraft Dungeons, maybe, I think. There've been so many Minecraft spinoffs, I can't keep them track, but they worked on that as well. They've worked on a few other sort of contract games, but Shipbreaker is kind of their own baby, and it's a fantastic game, so you should go support it so that we can get Shipbreaker too, because I really, really want it. For those who don't know, just really quick before I jump onto the other thing, it's a game where you basically go in and you dismantle spaceships. You're in like zero G and you've got a couple of like sci-fi tools. Like, you've got this cutting tool, basically a laser, and you've got this like grapple thing, and you're just cutting up spaceships and sorting the pieces into three bins, the processor, the furnace, or the barge. The barge is for like salvaged equipment, like, you know, computer terminals and stuff like that still are functional, basically. And then the processor is for high grade metals, nanocarbon and titanium, I think, are the ones in it. And then everything else goes in the furnace, aluminum and whatnot goes in the furnace. But you're sort of sorting it out, but the game is like super dangerous. like if you do things in the wrong order, you could decompress the ship and, you know, cause a explosive decompression, or if you hit a fuel line with the laser, the whole thing can go up. If you don't handle the reactor properly, it'll melt down. It's very fun. It's a very, very fun game with a lot of great challenge. And then on top of that, it has this beautiful, wonderful, dark humor to it. The writing is so, so good. So yeah, go check it out. Go check it out for sure. It's a fantastic game. But what I want to talk about on this episode is something that I've been playing over the last few days and gotten really into, especially with the most recent updates, and they just keep improving it. And that is Lego Fortnite. So if you've been listening to the podcast for any length of time, you probably know, or if you follow me online on my other social media accounts and stuff, then you know that I'm a huge, huge fan of Lego. I'm a huge collector. Most of the collectibles that I've bought in the last 5 years have been Lego. Most of my house is covered in Lego. It's like the main thing that we decorate with in this house at this point. Especially since they started releasing the botanical stuff, the flowers and that sort of thing, because Crystal and I are both super allergic to flowers, so we really can't have them in the house. And plastic plants, Pepper, our cat, tends to get into them and chew them and that sort of thing, but he doesn't touch Lego, thankfully. So it's been a really great thing of, like, you know, buy these botanical Lego and then they look really nice, they look fantastic, but then also no allergies and no cat issues. The problem is he'll get into the plastic ones. We've got a couple of plastic plants that he leaves alone, but a lot of the, like, the plastic flowers or like the, cause sometimes they'll be like synthetic fabrics or whatever, not really plastic, but whatever it is that they're making it out of, he really likes to chew, and he'll chew it up and swallow it. And then it'll make him sick, right? It gets in his stomach and then he has issues. So that's the main reason why we can't have them. But with Lego, yeah, he leaves it alone. So the only real concern with real world Lego is two things. Well, I guess three things. First and foremost, the cost. Lego is an expensive hobby. It's not as expensive as it used to be because everything else has gotten more expensive. So relative to everything else, Lego has actually stayed pretty steady as inflation has gone up. I'd have to look at it exactly price per brick, but I feel like it really hasn't gone up that much. The big difference now is that they put out a lot of big ticket sets, as opposed to, like, back in the day, there used to be a lot more of the, like, you know, $10 to $30 sets. And now it's a lot more of the $100 to $200 sets that come out in each wave. But, price per brick, I think, has stayed fairly not stagnant, but just like sort of steady. I think that there has been increase, but not as compared to other toys. Like, Star Wars collecting is out of control. Like we've talked about this. I think we talked about it on Rebel Cells, maybe. But yeah, the fact that a Black Series figure up here in Canada can cost $60 to $70. I mean, it's just insane for an action figure, for a 6-inch action figure, you know, with some doodads and whatnot. It doesn't even do anything. It just looks nice. Right. It's quite insane. Whereas, you know, I can buy a pretty nice Lego set for $70. So I think that's one of the other things that has motivated that being one of my main collecting, avenues at the moment. So that's one concern, is the cost. It is a disposable income type of purchase. It is not there's nothing necessary, functional or anything like that when it comes to Lego. It is just for fun and aesthetic. But so there's that. There is the amount of space that it takes up. It really, really does end up, when you collect it and you're getting the bigger sets, it becomes a concern. There's only so many places that you can put Lego. And then the last thing is the dust. So although, you know, we get these Lego flowers, and the idea is that, you know, we don't have flowers that make us allergic, they collect a lot of dust, and as they collect a lot of dust, you know, that can be a bit of a health issue as well. So yeah, it's a lot of work to keep it all clean and maintain it, but as much as any other collectible. But those are sort of the three main things with physical Lego, which is why I am really, really excited about what they've brought to Lego Fortnite. So when they first launched it, and this was like right after Christmas, I can't remember exactly when, but it was right around that time they launched it. And I got back into Fortnite as a result, and I was like, this is awesome, so great, because a bunch of the stuff that I've already bought in Fortnite, a bunch of the skins and whatnot, I translated, like, a lot of the Star Wars and Marvel ones are right there in Lego Fortnite, and then they did the Ninja Turtles stuff, and the Ninja Turtles skins were available in Lego Fortnite, and so it's just like, yeah, this is awesome. And it's just, so what the game basically is Minecraft, but with Lego. So Minecraft was touted when it became popular as essentially Lego the video game without the license, right? And forever, people were like, I don't understand why Lego is not just making this as a game. And I the Lego video games themselves are also pretty good. They run the full spectrum. There are really good ones, and there are also some really, really poor installments in those franchises. But the really good ones make up for it. Like, Lego video games are a lot of fun, both in, like, the humor of the storytelling and writing, and then the gameplay tends to be pretty enjoyable as well. But Lego Fortnite is not that. So Lego Fortnite is open world. It is crafting. It is sort of collecting and crafting. And Yeah, I mean, it's exactly what I want from that type of game. I love Minecraft. I played the crap out of it. My problem with Minecraft is that I'm one of the early adopters on that one. Like, I was playing Minecraft in alpha, so before it even went into beta. I think I paid less than $10. I think I paid about $7.99 for Minecraft a billion years ago. Like, we're talking probably, I mean, it would have been around 2008, 2009. I think like 2008. I don't even know when Minecraft came out. But yeah, I mean, like very, very close to the original release. Let me look it up. When did Minecraft come out? So the game was first released to public on the 17th of May, 2009. But that's not the original. Did Minecraft exist in 2008? Let's see. The game was created by Marcus Notch Person in the Java programming language. Yes, it was. Yeah, full version was released in 2011. So I guess if it was 2009, I was there like at the beginning. So when I was playing Minecraft, this is my problem with it now, is that I go into Minecraft now and it's so complicated and there's so much stuff going on. But when I first started playing it, I remember when mobs were released, like friendly mobs were released. Because when you first started the game, it was just, I think maybe there were pigs in it. Maybe. I don't know if they were in the first initial launch or not. But initially it was just the world, and then at night the zombies and creepers would come, and that was it. As far as I remember. And so you would just be crafting during the day and then holing up at night and, you know, waiting for morning to come, or you'd hop in your bed and wait for morning. And then they started adding new stuff into it and whatever, and new physics and that sort of thing. And I played it for quite a while on PC. Well, I guess it wasn't PC. I guess I would have been playing on Mac at that point, because that was the computer that I had. But yeah, like playing in browser basically, or like through the JavaScript client, Java client, I should say. And yeah, like I played the crap out of that game. I lost so many hours when I should have been productive and should have been working on other things playing Minecraft. And this new Lego Fortnite is essentially the same thing. It's essentially the same game of like at night skeletons come out and attack you. There are other threats during the day and everything, but you go around and you explore in order to find resources, and then use those resources to build different things, different crafting tools and workbenches and whatnot, in order to craft more stuff, in order to do this and that. And you have to eat and you have to survive. It's a survival style game, right? Where it began as just sort of a straight up, you know, early Minecraft. It's so funny. I think maybe even I said it on a podcast. I don't remember where I said it, but I was like, this is like the thing that it's missing is that I can't buy sets. I want to buy sets. I want to buy themed things and you know, have new stuff to build, not just the stuff that you can, you know, unlock in the base game. But of which there's quite a lot. So your building options are actually quite varied. But then with a very recent release, I think, you know, in beginning of March, maybe even late February, they did add in sets that you can purchase in order to expand out the game. And so I recently had some Fortnite bucks stashed, and so I just thought that I would check out one of the sets, because they've got Lion Knight's Castle, a bunch of stuff from the Lion Knight's, like inspired by the Lion Knight's Castle, which is a pretty famous, it's an old school Lego set that just got like a revamp. They just did a big, like, it's like a $400 set. And so it's inspired by that. It's very similar to that in sort of aesthetic and everything. So I bought the basic one. There's sort of three packages with it. So I bought the cheapest one. And so I've been playing around with that, and it's awesome. It's so great. 'Cause you get, there are pre-builds in it. So what that means is basically like when you buy a Lego set, obviously Lego is a versatile toy, right? It's a construction toy. And so you can build whatever you want with a Lego set, or with Lego bricks, I should say. But when you buy a set, it comes with instructions, and the instructions build a specific thing. So the pre-builds are kind of like that. So the one that I bought has, it's got, oh, it's like a, the Mage's Tower, and then I can't remember the name of the other one, but it's sort of like, just like a small sort of castle structure. But along with the pre-builds, which you sort of like set it and it like sort of sets the foundation and then you go piece by piece and it tells you where to put the pieces, all of the pieces that go into those constructions, into those pre-builds, are then available for you to create your own stuff. And so, yeah, I mean, like I've just been playing around with that a lot and just building up like an awesome castle, basically. And yeah, it's really, really good. The style of the bricks, there's castle stuff in the default game as well. And the great thing is that aesthetically it actually can go together. But the Lion Knight Castle, and this is what I'm hoping they continue to do, the Lion Knight Castle has just a little bit more care and attention put into it. So the regular castle stuff that you pre-builds that you get and the pieces that you get, they look fine, but they don't have sort of the flair that the Lion Knight one does. And one of the best things about the Lion Knight one is it's got the that sort of like the notched is it a parapet? I think it's a parapet. I'm gonna look this up let's look up castle architectural terms. So let's see what is the part that I'm talking about, right? Let's bring up this picture. Okay. So I'm looking at mini architecture guide, medieval castle vocabulary. So I guess the piece that I'm talking about is called a donjon? Donjon? D-O-N-J-O-N. I don't know how to pronounce that. But it's the part, you know, it's like the notched sort of ridges on the top of a castle wall, right? And so it comes with all that, and there's even like multiple types of them. And one that is sort of a little bit more an edging to put on the top. They treat them as roofs, so it's sort of you're just putting it on the edge of your roof around a wall. But then there's another one that sort of sticks out a little bit more and has like a support pieces that drop down from it. That's just a little bit more style, a little bit more flair to it, and they look. It just looks fantastic. It's just so much fun to build, because that's one of the sets, that's one of the themes when I look at Lego that's not licensed Lego. Most of my collection is licensed. Most of it is honestly Star Wars, right? But when I look at the stuff that's just like the sort of just standard Lego, space is my number one. And if you're following on TikTok, I'm gonna start posting some builds soon. I've just been trying to figure out sort of how I'm going to do it. But it's going to be there will be Lego content on TikTok, YouTube, and Instagram very soon. It's just its own thing. I'm just doing it because I love Lego, and it's like, if I'm building this Lego, I might as well make content out of it. But I've just been trying to figure out sort of like what's the best way for me to do that. One of the things that I did recently is I actually just completely reorganized my office space. I redecorated, essentially. And one of the main reasons for that was to get the space to a point where I can do a little bit more filming in here and create a little bit more content in here, as I've been doing. I mean, you guys have seen sort of the reactions and stuff. And I missed actually a couple of reaction videos that I should have done last week as a result, because I was so busy redecorating. But now I'm ready to go. Now I'm prepared. But I'll be posting some Lego stuff soon. And I'm really excited about it. I think you guys will dig it. So space is number one. And then after space is absolutely the medieval stuff. It's the knight's stuff. And that Lion Knight's castle I would love to have, but I can't justify the price point because I have nowhere to put it. I have the Raiders of the Lost Ark set, which will be not the next thing that I build. So I did a little space set, and I've got an actually quite big space set that I'll do. And like it'll be sort of multiple videos on TikTok and whatnot, in order to build that one, 'cause it's going to take a little while. But I've got the Raiders of the Lost Ark set, which I will also do. I want to be able to live stream it as well, but I have to get to 1,000 followers on TikTok before I can do a live stream. And I think it's something similar to that on Instagram. I don't think I can do lives on Instagram yet either. I can do them on YouTube though. And I guess Twitch, if I wanted to do Twitch. But I've had this Raiders of the Lost Ark set. It's like the really, really nice set. I got it. Crystal got it for me last year for my birthday. And it has been sitting, just collecting dust since then. Like, just literally just sitting, and the box is just collecting dust. I have to clean it off because it keeps getting dusty. And that's because I just didn't have a place for it. Now, I just did this redecorating in my office space. And one of the main goals of that was making sure that there was a space specifically for that set. So now I can finally build it, but I just need the time to do the filming. That I start next week, I can start filming all this stuff, and I can film, so I can be building them, and then like I'll release the videos later as I edit them or whatever. It's not, I don't have to wait, that sort of thing. I can build and film footage and just sort of like bank the footage. But that's something that'll go up. But all of that's back to say that these, like the medieval knights stuff, is one of my favorite things to like aesthetically for Lego, but I don't have any space for it. Right, the great thing about a video game is that it's not taking up any space. It's a virtual world. And you don't have as much freedom in building the Lego as you do in real life, where obviously you can combine your bricks in any way that you deem appropriate, including dun-dun-dun illegal builds, which if you're a Lego fan, you know what I'm talking about. If you're not a Lego fan, there are things, unintended uses of bricks that are considered illegal builds that, you know, you can play around with in order to create really cool structures and really, really neat stuff. But the benefit of the virtual stuff is that, yeah, it doesn't take up any space. It doesn't need to be dusted or cleaned. And the cost is actually relatively low. It's fine. It's an infinite number of bricks. As long as you can collect resources in the game, you can build more bricks and you can create new constructions with it. Right. So it's a thing that, yeah, like you don't have to stress about, you know, oh, do I have any more of that? It's like, oh, I'm out of granite. I'll go collect some more granite and then I can build more stuff. Right. And that is just, it's really, really cool. It's really fun to do the exploration and to find new things and discover new stuff in the world. And they just added fishing not that long ago. So that's another thing that's fun to do is, you know, you go and you find a fishing hole and you see what new things you can catch in this, and different fish will actually give you like different resources when you break them down. I'd like take them back to your base, to your camp, and use your different tools to break them down. You'll find things in them. I mean, like some of the fish have like the fish that have lanterns, right? You know, like the deep sea fish that have like the little dangly lantern. If you break them down in the, I think it's the food processor is the piece of equipment. You'll get your fish fillets from it that you can use to make food. Simple sushi. So funny. But you'll also get a bright core, which is the element that you need to make lights. So it's cute stuff like that that really just adds an extra charm to the game, and makes it really fun to just discover new things and go out and explore. And it can actually be quite hard. Like you start in a grassland area, and then the next area that you should go to is what do they call it? Dry valley, I think. And then there's like a beach sort of biome, and then there's like a frozen biome, like a snowy biome. And the snowy biome is the most dangerous one. You get there, and all the enemies are very high level and that sort of thing. So you need to be prepared for it. You need to have a lot of resources and equipment in order to deal with it. And it's like it can be quite challenging. You'll be out exploring, and you know, you've gathered some resources that are rare, and then you get killed by something. You're like, dang, now I gotta go all the way back there and try and gather that stuff back up. But it's a dangerous area, so do I get more resources to go in and get it, or do I just like make a dash for it? Which is pretty standard survival game stuff, but it really works. And I mean, this is the other amazing thing about it. Fortnite's free. Like, Fortnite is just a thing. Like, you can download Fortnite on any console, as long as you've got, you know, your internet connection. Obviously, if you're on Xbox or PlayStation, you're going to need, PlayStation Plus or Xbox Live in order to play. Or I guess I think you need Nintendo Online on the Switch, which also has Fortnite. I never played Fortnite on my Switch, which is interesting. It doesn't look nearly as good. It looks so good on my PlayStation 5, you guys. It looks so good. Unreal Engine or whatever. The upgrades that they did like a year and a half ago. It looks beautiful. Running natively on the PS5. Oh, man. Oh, boy. But you can play on PC. You can download it on PC with the Epic Games client or whatever, and play it that way. And yeah, and it, like, Lego Fortnite did not cost anything extra when they launched all of these additional game modes, Rocket Racing, what do they call the music one? Jam? I can't remember. But the it's basically like a Guitar Hero type mode. And then obviously you've got classic Fortnite and then Lego Fortnite. What's the other mode? There's another one. Is that? No, that's the four of them. Yeah. Battle Royale. I guess there's story mode as well. So story mode, Battle Royale, Lego, the music one. I can't remember the name of it right now. And then Rocket Racing. And then it only costs money if you want to subscribe to Fortnite Crew, or if you want to just like buy things a la carte and get your skins and stuff like that. And obviously the battle pass subscription, but that's if you get Fortnite Crew. That's the pro tip, is get Fortnite Crew, even if you just do it for the duration of the battle pass, like for which would be like usually they're about 3 months. You're paying $15 a month, so you end up paying $45. But I think to get a battle pass ends up being like $30 anyways. And you get 1,000 Fortnite bucks every month that it renews. So kind of getting money back. It just makes more sense. It also keeps you tied in, and it keeps you there for longer. And $1,000 is not, like, Fortnite bucks is not really enough to, most things are like 1,200, and that's by design. That's obviously on purpose. It's like, here's $1,000, but you know, you're going to need to spend a little bit of money in order to top this up. That's their, you know, pricing model. But I don't begrudge them that. I mean, like, they're offering so much content for free. So such a great game. I mean, such a fantastic set of games now, because even like those other modes, the music mode and Rocket Racing are super fun as well. Rocket Racing doesn't feel like it's got as much depth to it as I would want, but I also just like, I'm not really a racing guy, so Yeah, it's kind of, I don't know. I see people doing stuff in that game and I'm like, I don't really know how you're doing that. I don't know how you're faster than me and beating me. So I just kind of coast on that. Like I just jump in every now and then to check it out, see if there are additional quests that'll get me some quick XP to finish a battle pass or whatever. But yeah, the music, is it Something Stage? I think it's something stage. It'll come to me, I think. Hopefully it'll come to me. But all of the new modes that they added are super fun. There's also all the creator stuff. I don't really get into it very much, but there are all of these other like sort of creator worlds and modes and stuff that you can check out that people really enjoy. And obviously, like, you know, like anything, like Minecraft, like Roblox, like any of it, there's such a huge community component to it. And the kids that play it, like the younger kids that are into it, like that's where they're spending their time. They're in those creator things, not in like the curated experiences as much, but more in like that sort of Wild West zone. I'm too old for that style. It's so confusing. And there's so many like what is happening now? How does this game mode work? What are the rules here? And I can't keep up. But I love it. I love that it exists. I love that it's there. And this is like the thing about Fortnite is that it's a, like Roblox, like Minecraft, it's community, right? Especially like since the pandemic, that online connectivity, I think is a really important thing. The ability to hang out, like having a space to hang out. I mentioned this a couple episodes ago, and then on the Discord, people were like, oh yeah, I never really thought about that. Like I didn't have a term for it, but the term third space, right? Which is a thing that we've kind of lost in this era, in this age, is the idea of places that we go and hang out. Right? Places that are not home or work, but a third place, a third space for us to go to. The coffee shop, for me, it was the comic book store and video game store, you know, where I would go and hang out and meet new people, make new friends, outside of school and family stuff. Churches are third spaces, right? For most people, some people it ends up being work, but I say that as somebody who worked in a church at one point, and you lose it. You lose that third space by making it your job. But third spaces are often spaces that are centered around community, right? And online spaces have become that. And in some instances, that's not a great thing, right? From one perspective, it's not the best. And I totally am fully aware of that and agree with it that, you know, Twitter as a third space is not, I don't think it's healthy. I think the problem with Twitter is that Twitter is like walking into Times Square and screaming at the top of your lungs and hoping that you find some people, you know, some cool people to hang out with, that agree with you or not necessarily agree with you, but that like are, share some of the same ideals and you can get into conversations with, right? 'Cause disagreement isn't a bad thing, but the problem with Twitter, and this is where the whole thing becomes problematic, is that you have people in those spaces that are there specifically just to disagree with people, or to be disruptive or I mean like violent. I think we shy away from that term because we really think about violence as a physical act, but I do think more and more that it's the best term for the way that those people act in those places. And I mean, like, I've never spent any considerable amounts of time on Reddit because I do consider it to be a very violent place. Like the way that people have discussions in that space is very, very toxic and unhealthy. And I think that Twitter, for a lot of the pandemic for me, was a space that I was going to for community, for connection, especially like as we were quarantined and such. And obviously I have some incredible friendships that I've made through that. Some of the people that you guys hear really frequently on the network on Perfect 10 are friends that friendships that were forged in that environment. But more and more, I have taken those friendships out of that space and into other spaces to try and have a healthier relationship with that third space concept. And a lot of kids, because parents nowadays, we don't let our kids go hang out at the park on their own. We don't let them get on their bikes and just ride. We consider the world a much more dangerous place. It's not, but is it more safe because nobody goes out, or is it, you know, is there some other reason, right? Have instances of violence and other issues gone down because there's just nobody out there? Like there aren't kids out there on their own, or are we just a better society? Like, have we become a better society that doesn't have as much of that stuff going on? That's a tough question to answer, I think. But regardless, kids now under the age of 15 really aren't out in the world socializing in the way that our generation was. I'm assuming that most people listening to this are of the same age that I am, maybe a little bit older, a little bit younger, but sort of within that range, right? Millennial, elder millennial is myself, cusp millennial, or Gen Z, like cusp Gen Z, or sorry, Gen X, I should say. Some cusp Gen Z, I'm sure, listen to the podcast as well, but we would just get on our bikes and go. I think people are kind of almost sick of hearing that nowadays. Whereas like kids now, they don't have that. And that's what online gaming has become. And it also happens in like these Twitch streams and YouTube streams and stuff like that, that they hang out in, where they're watching other people play video games or, you know, unboxings, whatever. And I think that those of us who are outside of that age group that grew up with the alternatives that I'm talking about, we do a lot of judging of that lifestyle of what Gen Z and Gen Alpha spend their leisure time doing. And I think that we need to stop. I think we need to stop in the same way that boomers need to not judge millennials, right? And like Gen X needs to not judge millennials, and we need to not judge Gen Z and Gen Alpha for the way that they're choosing to spend their leisure time. I think that there are benefits and there are deficits in all of it, no matter what you look at. Anything that you spend your time doing, there is no activity that is 100% wholesome, right? Because even in sports environments, you know, yeah, you're getting outside and you're getting exercise and you're staying in shape and you're maintaining your health and all of that. And that's all great. But I found sports to be very toxic environments. I found those environments to be more damaging to my mental health than isolation. So that was not a great option for me personally. Whereas obviously I tend to do pretty well in these online spaces. But maybe that's why I have the perspective that I have. I play a lot of video games. I hang out online, so I understand the benefit of it. Obviously, there are also a lot of reasons not to spend your time, all of your time, that way. And I think like anything, it's balance, right? But I think the most important part of this is to just not judge kids for spending time in those spaces. And I think as a parent, if you are a parent listening to this, I think to just be involved, right? You like, don't get in there. Don't follow them into those spaces. I think like that crosses the line, and that there are boundaries that need to be maintained there. They have to have their own space. They have to have their own community. We don't need to be involved in every single aspect of their lives. We shouldn't be. One of my favorite things when Kara started going to school, even preschool, was that she would come home with stories and experiences that I wasn't there for. So I got to hear it from her perspective. I got to hear these stories about what she was up to and what she's doing. And I wasn't there for it. And that was something for me that I really, really value. And I think that more parents could probably stand to learn that lesson and be a little bit less involved directly in their kids' lives. But the flip side of that is you got to monitor. You got to keep an eye on things. You definitely, definitely have to know what they're up to. But there's a fine line between knowing what they're up to and essentially spying, right? And you don't want to be doing that. You don't want to spy on your kids. You don't want to make them feel as if they're not trusted. And so, yeah, I think like you got to just kind of peek in every once in a while. But more than that, you have to have conversations with them. You have to talk to them. And the hardest part of that is creating an environment where they are going to be comfortable telling you what's up, what's going on. But that's the challenge. That's what it is. That's what being a parent is. And people come back at you and say, yeah, but that's really hard. It's like, yep. Mm-hmm. What's your point? Like, what's your point about it being very hard? Yeah, it is very hard. Yeah. That's kind of the whole thing. What I say to Kara a lot of the time when she says, but that's really hard, is like, yeah. And nothing worth doing doesn't come with that challenge, that certain amount of challenge, right? And parenting is definitely one of those things. It's definitely one of those things. Everything is easier when you don't have kids. Everything. Whenever I hear my friends who don't have kids complain about something, I'm like, listen, you are on easy mode. And they hate hearing that. And obviously, you know, they're justified in hating hearing it. But it's true. It's real. When you've got kids, everything becomes exponentially more difficult. And the more kids you have, the worse it gets until you get to a certain point. And I think that's at 4 kids. The difference between 4 kids and 10 kids is only monetary. The challenge level doesn't change. Once you hit 4, that's too many. It's too many, I think. That's my personal opinion. And I say that having friends with 4 kids. And those friends with 4 kids, I think, would agree with me that 4 is probably too many. It's one too many kids. But that is the perspective of somebody with 2 kids who often feels that more than 1 is too many. Because I think we're all just trying to do our best with these small humans. And that becomes even harder when you're trying to do your best with 2 kids who have 2 different sets of needs. And challenge you in 2 different ways. And I often are doing that simultaneously, right? They're challenging you at the same time in different ways with different needs. And you have to be 2 people at once for them. But those spaces, Fortnite, Minecraft, Roblox, Twitch, YouTube, I think that they can be good spaces, but you got to do 2 things. Like you got to raise your kid to know the difference between right and wrong. And then once you've done that, you have to trust them. You got to step back and you got to let them get on their bike and go ride. Like you have to. I really wish that I was able to let my kids explore in that way. Kara's getting to that age. She's 7.5. She'll be 8 this year, later this year. And I want to be able to let her have those experiences that I had when I was 8, where, you know, especially during the summer, where it was like, go do your thing, you know, on the weekends, like go do your thing, go outside, hang out with your friends, and you know, get into a little bit of mischief, not necessarily trouble, not necessarily causing any problems, but just get up to your own thing and, you know, create your own stories. But unfortunately the world now is devoid of that. And so you can't just send an 8-year-old out into the world on their bike to go explore. Because there are no other 8-year-olds, and there are no, like if somebody sees your 8-year-old wandering, they're going to call the police, right? For one of two reasons. Either there's a kid and they're causing trouble, not doing anything, but they'll be like, they're causing trouble. Or there's a kid out here by themselves, they're in trouble. They are in danger. And so, you know, that's just how people react to things nowadays, which is not... it's not correct. I don't think it's correct. But it's the world that we're living in now. And so we have to just kind of adapt, because you can't change it just because you don't like it. You have to sometimes go with the flow, and you can do little things to tweak here and there and help, you know, move the dial. But I don't know if the world will ever go back to that sort of, more is carefree, but it was also careless, right? The parenting was careless. The kids were carefree. There's good and bad to it. But thankfully we have these online spaces now. We have Lego Fortnite and Minecraft and Roblox for kids where they can hang out. They get on voice chat. They talk to each other. But this is where you got to monitor. You just have to be a part of it. And you just have to be, not involved, not directly involved again, but you have to have conversations with them. So knowing their friends and then knowing who they're playing with, that's what I'm talking about. Just to give some concrete examples for people who are like, okay, that sounds good, but what are you talking about? That's the level of involvement. Like, you're not going to get in there yourself unless they ask you to. If your kid says, hey, come play Minecraft with me, like, I've got a server, come hang out on my server. It's like, yeah, absolutely. Go play with them. There's nothing wrong with playing video games with your kids. You should, if you love video games and they love video games, you should absolutely do it. It's a great opportunity to form relationships it sounds like they're starting to do some lawn work out there. So I'm going to wrap this up, but, Lego Fortnite is such a great opportunity for that. It's such a perfect place for that. Cause it is cooperative. You get in there, build together, hang out together. It's good. I think I am actually probably at the point where I'm going to get Kara set up with Fortnite on her Switch, and so that she can come in and we can play Lego Fortnite together. Cause I think that would actually be a really fun thing to do. But I don't know. We'll see. I don't know if she's quite there yet with her gaming skills, but we can give it a try. She's not going to get there unless we practice it, unless we try it and we work at it. So, Lego Fortnite is awesome. My only thing right now, is that, you know, they gave me what I asked for, which is like, oh, I really wish that I could just like buy some sets and expand, you know, the things that I can build. More sets, more variety. They've got the Lion Knight Castle, and then the other sets that they've got in it are like based on Fortnite locations, which is cool. But, I want to see some of the licensed stuff make its way in. So like Ninja Turtles was just a big thing. If I could get some Ninja Turtles stuff in there, that would be really cool. Some Star Wars stuff, some Marvel stuff. Like if I could build Stark Tower, that would be really awesome. It would be a great project, like a really fun thing to do on a server and grab a bunch of people and be like, okay, everybody, you know, cause we don't all have to be in the server at the same time, right? You can create your world and people can jump in and out of it. But just be like, hey, it's here and come hang out and help me build this very, very big project. Be really, really cool. But then more of the Lego specific stuff. And what I really want to see is the space stuff. These sets that I'm collecting right now, I would love to see them in Lego Fortnite. I would love to be able to build them in Lego Fortnite. But I am sure that they have plans. I am sure that they are working on stuff and developing stuff. But the great thing about these games is that they are, you know, there's a lot of people who like get hung up on the live service games and subscription fees and whatnot. Again, Fortnite can be totally free. You don't have to pay for it if you don't want to. You can just have it. What I love about them is that they are constantly evolving. They don't, they're not stagnant. They don't, it's not just a game is released and then it's there. So something might come out and, you know, okay, this, it, you know, this stuff is fun. But then as it goes on, it just, like, it gets more and more and more fun, right? Not every live service game goes that route, but Fortnite certainly has. Minecraft certainly did. Roblox certainly did. I've never played Roblox. I don't really know anything about it, but kids love it, so it can't be that bad. I think that it's a really, it can be a really cool thing to get into. I'm just glad, I'm just happy to have somewhere else to play with Lego. That's all, that's really what it comes down to. And I'll be playing it for a long time. So, hey, if you are also playing Lego Fortnite, come find me on social media, find me on Twitter at ArcWolf, and, hit me up and we can play some Fortnite, Lego Fortnite together and build some cool stuff. But that's it. That's it for this episode. Thank you guys so much for hanging out. Thank you so much for supporting us on Patreon. Everybody who does that, patreon.com/thunderquack. If you want to keep getting off the record, if you want to keep hearing these podcasts, then that's going to be the place to do it. They are exclusive. They will remain exclusive. And this month was just sort of like, just to celebrate going weekly. Here's a nice taste of all of this content. But from now on, they'll be up on Patreon exclusively. When I say exclusively, there might be other opportunities for you to get episodes a la carte, but they won't be the ideal way to do it. Because one of the things is I can put them up on Pinecast and you can pay $5 an episode, or you can pay a subscription fee there as well. If I set that up, but to me that feels kind of silly when you could just go to Patreon. Just go to Patreon. Just pay for the whole year. You get a discount. It's even cheaper. But yeah, there's also like iTunes subscriptions and stuff like that I can set up that I'm looking at. So there might be opportunities in the future to get episodes a la carte. But if you do, you know, you're going to pay substantially more for them a la carte than you would if you were just a member over at patreon.com/thunderquack. And you also get other benefits, right? There are other bonus episodes that are exclusive to Patreon, like Perfect 10 Star Wars. And what else did we do? I mean, Joe and I did a Thunderquack podcast episode ranking all 151 original Pokemon from Gen 1, which is a really, really fun, really great episode. And yeah, go check that out. Maybe it's for you. Maybe it's not. If not, thank you for supporting in the ways that you do by listening, downloading the episodes. Make sure that you go leave a rating and a review. It means a lot. And share the podcast with someone. If you got a friend who's a big fan of Lego but doesn't know anything about Lego Fortnite, send them this episode. They'll hear about it and maybe it'll be for them. Maybe they'll check it out. But yeah, again, thank you guys for listening. Thanks for hanging out. And we will see you on the next episode. Stay frosty.